exploring together what it means to be the church. And we are using Jesus's teachings in the Gospel of Luke to help us in that exploration. Being the church together is not easy work, but Jesus has not left us alone to figure it out. He's given us the manual. He's given us the blueprint on what it means to be together in community, to do life together, and how we are supposed to live and treat one another in this community and those who are outside of this community in the world. And so far in the sermon series, we have heard from Jesus that he is like the good shepherd that always welcomes back his sheep. Even the one lost sheep, he rejoices when they return, just as we have been rejoicing in the returns of so many of you coming back into worship. And last week we heard from Jesus when he gave us a hard teaching on money that reminded us all that love, not wealth, is what defines us as children of God. In our teaching today, we find Jesus addressing the Pharisees, who are the teachers and the interpreters of the Jewish law, with a parable. A parable is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. And Jesus often uses parables to expound upon a teaching that he has just done. But in his parable, he does something unique. He uses real-life examples that his listeners would understand so that his point would stick even further for them. The lesson Jesus has just taught on is money. And as Luke points out in the Gospels, the Pharisees loved money. And Jesus was addressing the Pharisee interpretation of the law that had them believing that wealth was somehow associated with special favor from God, and that poverty was a punishment from God for sin. And Jesus, in his parable, is going to fully confront this false interpretation of the law and show the Pharisees the true way of living as a child of God. So hear this story from Jesus that helps us all understand what service should look like as the church. Hear these words from Luke chapter 16, verses 9 through 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember in your lifetime you received good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and between you and I, there's a great chasm that has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here cannot, and anyone that wants to cross over to us cannot." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." And Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes, they will repent." And he said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone raises from the dead." Amen. Here ends our reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Our middle hymn today is titled, Let Your Hearts Be Broken. If you are here in the sanctuary, you'll find that in the green hymnal. And for those of you worshiping at home, you'll find the link to that hymn dropping into the comments down below. Let's join together and sing to our God. You may be seated. So one of my favorite movies ever is called Toy Story 3. Maybe you have seen it. Pixar knows how to pull at your heartstrings, right? I dare you to watch either Coco, Up, or Toy Story 3 without shedding one tear. It's impossible. At least for me, it's impossible. There is something about Toy Story 3, watching the end. I watched it even this week, and I was crying in my office. So I was hiding from, it was on a Tuesday, I was hiding from Jen and Jim, like just crying in my office watching the YouTube clip of the ending so that I could talk about it today because it's really good. This movie did come out 12 years ago, so I am sorry. I'm going to give a major spoiler alert, but you have had time to watch it, so I hope this inspires you to watch it if you haven't seen it. Andy is the owner of the toys. He's the main character of the films, and in Toy Story 3, he's 18 years old, and he finds himself heading off to college, and like all 18-year-olds have to do, their parents make them do it, is clean out their room, right, before they leave for college. My mom turned my room into a gym. So I had to clean out my stuff, too, from my room. I still got a bed, though, so I still got to go home and sleep. But at the end of the movie, Andy finds a note on the box of toys that is labeled Attic. And the note was written by Woody, and Woody is Andy's most treasured toy. And the note is the name and the address of this little toddler named Bonnie. And Bonnie had found these toys at her daycare. So if you want to know how the toys got to the daycare, you have to watch the film. So I'm not going to give that away because that's the subplot line. So you have to watch that. But Bonnie knows the toys. Woody knows Bonnie. So he writes her name and address on this note. And the note is there for Andy to read. Andy takes the box and drives to Bonnie's house and finds her in the driveway. And he opens up the box and he reaches down and he finds his toys. And one by one, he gives Bonnie his toys. Yes, I have the toys. The Slinky Dog, he gives Slinky Dog to her first, and she's very happy. Yes, thank you for joining us for worship, Slinky Dog. And then he takes out Buzz, of course, Buzz Lightyear, rescuer to the rescue, to infinity and beyond. And he gives Buzz to Bonnie, and she is just overjoyed. And then the box is empty, or so Andy thinks the box is empty. Bonnie looks down again because she's looking for the toy that she really wants, and that's Woody. Andy doesn't know that Woody is in the box. Woody has put himself in the box, so Andy is pretty astonished, and he doesn't want to give Woody away. But this is the toy that Bonnie wants, because Woody is awesome, right? He's one of the best Disney characters. Andy looks at Bonnie and he sees her joy for this cowboy who we lost his hat, but he sees this joy for this cowboy. Andy says this about Woody. He says, Woody is brave and kind, like a cowboy should be. But the thing that makes Woody special is that he will never give up on you.
Let's go, deputy. Time to rescue some toys.
He will never give up on you ever. He will always be there for you no matter what. This is why Woody is my favorite Disney character. He is the definition of a friend. And then Andy hands Woody over to the little girl to pass on the love and joy that Woody has given him to her. And Woody heads off to college, and Andy heads off to college and drives into the sunset, and Woody says, "So long, partner." And it's a tear-jerking scene, and I cry every time. And what thank you, Woody. And what makes the scene so special was that Andy was able to notice a need. He knew his treasure, his most cherished possession, could bless another human, and so he gave it away freely. And that's living out the gospel right there. I don't know if Pixar knew what they were doing with that, but that is living out the gospel, to notice the needs of another. The obvious stuff, to notice the obvious stuff, is holy to God. And Andy was a great example of living out the parable, the parable that we heard today. Positive example of that. The rich man, one of the main characters of our parable, failed to see the obvious need of another human being in suffering. And being the church is all about serving one another. But we can't serve until we notice the obvious. Jesus' parable starts off with him telling us that there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. Now, purple is the Gucci, the Louis Vuitton of the first century. Purple is the stuff of rich people. Purple dye was very expensive, and this man was filthy rich. Remember, this story is being told to the Pharisees, so they would have been thinking in their minds that this rich man has been blessed by God, right? This rich man is important. This rich man is everything. Our next character in the story is a man named Lazarus, and he was covered in sores, which meant that he would have been ceremonially unclean by society at that time. He was an outcast. Lazarus longed to eat the scraps from the rich man's table, but got nothing. Lazarus was not noticed. The obvious was missed by the rich man. Then Jesus goes on to say that there was a time when the beggar died and the angel carried him to Abraham's side. And Lazarus' name literally means that God saves. You see, God did indeed save this man. The rich man didn't notice the obvious, but God did. The rich man also dies, but does not go to where Lazarus is. The rich man goes to another place. This brings up a lot of interesting questions of what Jesus is doing here, but there's a Patriots game happening today, and we don't have time to go into that. So that's a sermon for another day, right? But that's a very interesting theological debate. We can maybe have a night where we discuss what Jesus is doing here, because we could have a very rich conversation on that. So where the rich man is, he still remains concerned for himself. Did you catch that? He has no remorse for his inactions while he was alive. He demands that Abraham send Lazarus down to help him and cool him off with water. And when that request was denied, the rich man keeps going and demands that Lazarus be sent back to his brothers so that they will know that their actions do matter, in fact, matter on this earth, and they should start doing good things and not follow in the rich man's path. So we see, even where the rich man is, a concern for wealth and status get in the way of noticing the obvious. He can't, even in the afterlife, he can't notice the obvious. And the obvious is that service starts by noticing. Lazarus was at the rich man's gate for probably all of his life. In the Bible, it said that at the gate, it was to be a place of justice and mercy. The prophet spoke about God's great vision, for at the gate justice would finally be served to all people. But this rich man missed all that. He missed the writings of the prophets and what Moses said. Lazarus was seeking justice and mercy, but was instead passed by completely, ignored by those who were to help. The rich man's wealth was an opportunity to do good for others. Instead, he cared only about himself with his money. Jesus is trying to get the message across to the Pharisees that they are wrong for being more concerned with wealth than serving people. Do you see, to be the church means to serve one another, and service starts with noticing others. The youth group learned this firsthand on our service trip to Costa Rica. On our trip, our team got the chance to organize a field day at a local school for the little niños. And it was truly a glimpse of heaven for me to step back during that day and take a look at what was happening in the field. Our students showing those students in Costa Rica the youth group games that we all have come to know and love, the fun and silly egg toss. An egg did land on my head, but that's, you know, I'm just accident prone, I guess. It's so sad. But witnessing that, I learned that service is truly about being present. You don't always have to speak the same verbal language, but our actions of love, we can all share the same actions of love, and that communicates to someone else. I saw our students get on the little niños level and run around and play with them, and I saw a ministry of presence that I had to realize that that's what it's all about, being present and noticing others. And that's what being the church is for us together. It's noticing people. It's getting on their level and loving others into wholeness. The obvious was so hard for the rich man to understand, and the obvious can also be hard for us to understand as well and to see. We live such busy lives. We're always on the go, but to be the church and to spread light in our community, the challenge is this: to slow down, to notice the needs of others, and to do our best to try to do good for another soul. It might even mean giving away our treasured possessions, our most cherished things. If noticing people and service is something you'd like to do more of, I would encourage you to walk around the tables outside. There are so many ways to get involved. Did you know that we write notes to every visitor that comes into worship? Handwritten notes. The day of service is coming up, a very practical way to serve our community in need. The ONA task force. The list could go on and on. All of those groups are out there for you to take a look at. There are so many ways to get involved, and we all can collectively make this world a better place for those suffering, because service starts with the obvious, noticing others. Amen. Our middle hymn is a good one. It's called Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated. This is our prayer to God that he would take our life and use it for service for others. If you are here in the sanctuary, you will find that in your green hymnal. And for those of you worshiping at home, you'll find those lyrics coming to you in the comments down below. Let's sing together.